Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I'm kind of freaking out because your hair looks so amazing. And it looks so good.
Thank you.
Corinne got a haircut for people who are listening and can't see.
That's right. Go to Instagram and
check it
out. Take a look at our clip. It was spontaneous. It feels great. I feel like I've been so sick, you know, not serious sick, but annoying sick. And I've also been having a hard time transitioning from like book one promotion to trying to write another book and like starting over and being a beginner again. And I'm like, so much of the editing process is in my head. So I don't know. I just booked an appointment and got a haircut, and it will not surprise you. I told literally no one, but I didn't tell anyone. I did not tell anyone like intentionally. I wasn't like, I don't tell anyone what I do every day.
Why would anyone tell anyone about a haircut? Because you don't get them that often, or
maybe, or that it was that I was considering doing. I mean, I guess the point is I knew I was going in to chop my hair off. Was not. And I wasn't going for a trim.
True.
But yeah, my kids were like, oh my God. And then my husband was oh my God, you cut your hair off. But I don't know. I just don't think to tell someone. It doesn't seem like something I should tell someone.
Right.
I don't.
But also hair, we've talked about this.
Yes.
People haven't, you know, heard some of our prior episodes. Hair Playback, is a big.
Season two.
There you go. Yeah. Big significance for you. This isn't, that's why to me, I'm like, I mean, I go to the hairdresser every 6 weeks. So like, not always for a haircut, but point is, it doesn't signify anything to
that's
me.
That's right.
You, it is a real thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how to.
I definitely booked the appointment with like feeling like I need to change something. I need to feel different. I need to let go of something that's holding me back. And
I like the let go of something, like literally and figuratively.
Yes. And well, it's not really literally, the hair wasn't holding me back, but something.
But you let go of it. It went away, you know?
Yes.
There is a lightening.
Yes.
I feel like when you get a haircut. Yeah.
100%. Yeah.
Well, are you happy with it?
Is
it doing the trick? Is it?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I didn't like wake up today and finish book two.
Right.
I understand. If that's what you're asking.
No.
But no, it does feel good. It feels like an important piece of moving forward.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. And bonus, it also just looks amazing.
Thanks.
So.
Thank you.
There we go. There we go. Oh, this is so, I love it.
Thank you. So it's Friday. What are you looking forward to?
Looking forward to? I mean, I just have to rave about the play that I saw that you know about.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But also, I know we don't cover plays, but I mean, this play, Enemy of the People, I saw on Broadway, is written by a woman. So I would like to just say that, you know, it could fit into our genre here. I saw Enemy of the People, which is an Ibsen play written in 1892. He's the one that wrote The Dollhouse. And that was recently, you know, brought back to Broadway by Amy Herzog, who's a playwright. She brought this one back too with her husband, Sam Gold, who's the director. Honestly, the real reason I bought the tickets was because it stars Jeremy Strong, Kendall Roy
from Succession,
yes, and Michael Imperleone, which is, I say, Christopher from Sopranos, but also Dominic from The White Lotus. Although I swear to God, if you'd put a gun to my head, I could not remember that his character's name was Dominic.
No,
I mean, I loved him in it, but anyway, I think of him as Christopher,
of course,
and. So that's really, I do follow Broadway things, as you know, but I just saw they were in it. And I'm just like, I don't even know what this is about. I'm just going to buy tickets.
Yeah.
I did know that it was a theater in the round and that the stage was in the middle, but I didn't quite grasp until I went how incredible that is. I mean, I could like reach out and touch like Kendall Roy. I mean, I did have good seats, but there weren't bad seats.
Yeah.
And then bonus, the woman playing Kendall Roy, Jeremy Strong's daughter, I was like, she looks very familiar. I'm like, oh my God, it's Love Quinn from You.
Yes.
I just felt like the whole, all our shows.
The Joe Goldberg series.
Yes. Yeah,
Love Quinn. Yeah.
Right. Was just coming together in one place.
I love that.
And it was very trippy for me. I mean, and the play was excellent. There's a one intermission that's only 5 minutes and they invite you on the stage and you're like, wait, what? And they set up a bar on the stage. Come get a drink at the bar on the stage. Right. But of course, I already had a drink in my hand. So I didn't walk up, right? But a bunch of people did. Turns out, and this, if anyone goes to see it, go up on the stage, because then they grab certain people, audience members, to stay on the stage. Cause the next scene is Jeremy Strong's character giving this like speech like to the townspeople. So then you're like one of the townspeople on the stage.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Very cool.
Note to self. But it's very like the themes and the issues. It's scary how relevant they are today when they revive these plays from the, 1900, that you're like, oh, that's still an issue today.
Yeah.
So it was so good. It was just, I loved it.
I had no idea. Good. Yay.
But I did feel like I was in the middle of one of our episodes with all our characters like just coming together.
Yes.
So that was fun. That was very fun. Yeah.
Well, it's not as fun, but similarly, the musical for Mean Girls is out as a movie. Mm-hmm. And I watched that, which I highly recommend to anyone who hasn't. My daughter loves Mean Girls. I've never appreciated Mean Girls. I never got it. I never liked it very much. The musical version and this cast and the update, it is so good. We've already watched it like 20 times. We can't stop.
Oh my
Renee
God.
Rapp plays Regina George.
Her
voice is just out of this world. Her songs are so great. Maybe that was part of the problem. I didn't really get the Regina George character.
Oh yeah.
In the original. And she is just the star. I absolutely love it. And, Katie is played by the Jennifer Garner's daughter in the adaptation of, The Last Thing He Told Me.
Oh, no way.
Andrea Rice.
I remember.
Sorry.
I can see her character from
that. She's also fantastic. Believable as a, it has a different feel. And maybe I didn't see Mean Girls when it first came out. And so I'd already know who Lindsay Lohan was and she had already changed into someone that was not quite. So she is perfect at this and she really plays it a little bit more like wide-eyed and confused and not really sure about what she's doing. And then just you see her get sucked into it is really good. I'm so glad
you said that because I did like the movie and I saw it when it first came out. I've probably seen it multiple times. I did see the Broadway show of it when they did that. So when I saw this movie, I thought, how many times can we do Mean Girls? There is a little bit of, and I understood from what I had read and heard that it was updated and there's, and I get it, but there was a part of me that's like, okay, like we've seen enough Mean Girls, but I've heard so many good things. So now you're tipping scales.
I am adding to that because like I said, Renee Rapp is just, it's funny because you can't always understand what she's saying, but we always watch with captions on anyway, but it really doesn't matter. You get the sense of what she's conveying. It's just amazing. I thought she was fantastic. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you watched One Fine Day, Corinne? I mean, One Day. Oh my God. I just added One Fine Day. One Day.
I have not.
But you've seen all the hype.
Of course. Yes.
I've been meaning
another
to ask
White Lotus
you this.
Character.
Yes. Yeah, and Leo Woodall.
Woodall.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know why I've been sleeping on this. I wanted to ask you about it. I had read a little and I'm like a decade spanning love story. Like what? Yes.
Yeah. Wait, remind me, this was a book and then it was made into a movie.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
And
so
now
I read the book.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
And hated the movie.
Okay.
So and I've heard that.
I thought this was a movie. It's actually a series. Yeah. And like 14 episodes or 10. I don't know. A lot.
Yeah.
I only watched one.
Okay.
Okay. But you know, okay. So I love him.
So
yes, I love him. I mean, yeah. On screen already, like he just really just pops, if you will, whatever. Like I'm a little daunted by how many. I didn't have time to watch any more. But here's the worst part. So I haven't read the book.
Okay.
You know I don't care about spoilers, I say.
Oh.
Except mother trucker. I went to just double check the name this morning of the author.
Yeah.
I saw what happens at the end.
Yeah, I know what happens.
I didn't click. I wasn't reading a review.
Right.
I had seen other headlines that said basically like, I knew that wasn't a sappy, sweet, happily ever after from more generic headlines.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I literally just saw exactly what happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, forget this.
Yeah. There was a period of time when it was like, tragic romance was very big.
I guess so.
I read it the same time. I don't know if they came out the same time, but I read it the same time.
It was like 2011 or something.
Me Before You.
They compare it to that.
Oh, okay. Well, right. They must have back then too, because I read them kind of back to back. And
so I knew, but I didn't know.
So
I don't know. I mean, it's getting a lot of, I just don't know. Now that that's what I'm saying. I'm telling you because I claim that I don't care about spoilers,
but
this has now kind of made me like,
I
don't know. People, should I watch anyway? You got to tell me, but.
It's a good question. Yeah. And I have heard that it's worth checking out, even if you have a checkered past with the.
Or if you've read the book, then you know. So it's.
Right.
And the people are still enjoying it. So it's doing great on Netflix. It's got a lot of positive feedback, but I don't know now. Spoiled it for me.
Right. So, okay. That is funny because there are a couple of adaptations that are on our radar right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really struggling. Okay. Apples Never Fall is one coming very soon to Peacock.
Leanne Moriarty's
book. I read that novel, what feels like, you know, now that I read just volumes.
Yes.
I read it a couple of years ago, maybe three. I read it in Gallia, so maybe a year before it came out. I remember virtually nothing. So I was like, should I go back through it and get a refresher before the show comes out? Because I had read it. If I hadn't read it, it's a kind of a different analysis. I remember, but I almost am like, I remember nothing. It really would be like a new fresh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then The Idea of You, which I have bought because so many authors have recommended it.
I own it too.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And
this is the new one coming out with Anne Hathaway, which the trailer dropped as well.
Yeah.
That trailer
looks
so good.
Great.
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I want to read it before it comes out? Do I even want to? I don't
know. Well, you were of the mind recently that you did not want to, that you liked maybe doing the afterwards thing.
Yes.
But I see the Leanne Moriarty ones already in a different category because you
have. Yeah, I still kind of stand by that, but I will say I didn't go back to The Expatriates, which is Expats is based off of, because I just have too many things to read.
I can't. And
so the pressure of it will be the only thing that makes, I did it with Fleischman and I loved it with Fleischman, but I'm like, I don't know if I will realistically keep doing that. If I don't read it beforehand, because I feel some pressure. But then I also really don't like when people compare, like be like, that didn't happen in the book or that did happen. Maybe if you're like, just FYI, this was a change and it was an important change and why they changed or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. So I'm torn. What are you going to do?
I don't know. I generally would be a person that would want to beforehand.
Yeah.
But I think the time and the number of books we have to read is going to preclude me.
Yeah.
But I do like to compare.
Yeah.
And I have had, as you know, on here, some instances where I thought shows or movie adaptations of books have improved things for me that I had issues with in the book.
Yes.
But that's rare
Yeah, I think it's just little fires everywhere at this
point. Yeah, probably just little fires everywhere. Although, no, you're right. I can't think of any others off the top of my head. So, and then usually, I guess there's been somewhere maybe they've done some different things or they've expanded on things that like I thought was great. I wouldn't have thought of. But
see, like the last thing he told me, I was like, oh, that's different. And then I went back to the book and it was exactly the same. I had just forgotten.
Then you get into like, oh, that wasn't in there. And it's like, maybe it was. But I don't know. I mean, I like to think that I would, but I think the time is going to get me on that one.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I want to do is what's frustrating to me.
I think it's not going to bode as well for the show or movie if I read the book first. I will probably be more critical.
Stuck faithful to that. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Original.
Right.
Yeah.
And yet though, sometimes when they're too faithful, I'm like, oh, they didn't do anything.
Right.
So it's like,
you know, I just, the idea of you is really bothering me because I have literally owned it for years. And
I know that one does feel like I wanted to read it anyway. Yes. And I already had it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am.
So that I could, because I also, that one really looks like right up my alley. So
yeah.
It looks so good.
I don't know. I don't know.
There's no trailer yet for Apples Never Fall, is there?
Yeah.
Oh, there is.
I think in like a couple days.
Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. Then I've missed that trailer. I definitely saw the other one. Okay.
Yeah.
The Idea of You.
Yeah. I mean,
but
I don't know.
But this isn't our issue that it's on Peacock.
Yes.
We don't have Peacock.
Yes. Yeah. But you do.
I guess I do now. Yeah. I've been told I do by my son. I'm like, apparently I do have it now. Yes. Because there was some sporting event.
Yes.
On it,
so. Well, I think we do too for that same reason. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I don't know. Yeah.
Well, then I definitely won't read Apples Never Fall before it comes out. If you're telling me that's
right.
It's coming.
Days.
Yes, you're right. It's coming out soon.
Right.
So that's definitely gonna. Whereas The Idea of You isn't until May.
Yeah. Which is not that far off.
No, it's not. And you should see, I don't need to show you because you know the stack of books.
Mm-hmm. I know that we have.
Literally, I'm being. They're coming at me. Like I feel like the piles are going to fall on my head.
Yeah.
Of
yeah.
all the books that are.
I know. It's exciting, though. There's some really good content coming for books.
I know.
Okay. But I also wanted to talk about this. Publishing. Everyone knows notoriously it's hard to get into. I mean, I feel like I'm hearing this a lot. I had brunch with a friend of mine who just knows everything. She's like the best. Anyway. She was like, she doesn't even have a kid that's going to college anytime soon. And she was like, knows everything about college admissions. And she was like, it's just, and I know you've said the same because you're closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just harder to get into colleges than it was. But somehow it's like harder to get into every single college.
Yeah.
So everything's elevated. Anyway, I follow a lot of agents and editors who talk about how hard it is to break into publishing. And authors talk about it too.
Mm-hmm.
How hard it is to break into publishing now. It was always hard, but now it is like impossible. Forget it. Well, I just read something interesting. Eric LaSalle, you know Eric LaSalle? He was on ER.
The actor, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he's an actor. He's on ER. He believed that it was his destiny to write a book. And so he wrote a novel, not a life story or anything. He wrote a novel and no one would publish it.
And I'm they like, knew it was Eric LaSalle, from ER and I'm sure other things, but that's what I think of too.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then we're all screwed, people.
Yeah. Well, and so he self-published it and then was like, and then kept, he, so he wrote a book. It's a detective series, two detectives, one African-American, one white in New York City solving the first one's a mass murder, solving that. And he self-published and then kept writing. He sort of wrote a second one in that series. And that is where he, you know, he said he believes in predestiny and that he knew that even though no publisher was picking it up, this was the right thing. And just to keep going and to, so he calls her an angel, an agent kind of appeared to him, not in an actual angel, but like whatever, at some event, he met her and she was like, we can do this. And she sold the book, the one he had already, they mm-hmm. took it off publishing, self-publishing. They published it traditionally through Source Books and then did the second one. And now he's got a contract for a third one. I was like, it's an interesting story in and of itself. But
right.
I mean, what? It's incredible. Sal can't get really? A book really? Deal? Like, what? Is going on?
I don't understand.
Just throw his book up. I don't like. Right. Like, what is the
right? He'll get on. He'll be able to market it.
Yeah,
he has a platform.
Right.
Like, these followers, people will just
But I get it now. I mean, as I go through this process of publishing, it really isn't always about that. Just about selling books. Not that it's mm-hmm. never not about selling books, but there has to be a chemistry between the author and the editor. It's a whole, it's not just like, oh, he can sell some books, let's throw it up there. It's a relationship.
Right. Well, yes, but the book itself, I mean, if you can self-publish, then I mean, the relationship is not, there are other ways, meaning,
you know,
but that's not why he's not getting a book deal, I guess is my point. But you're saying maybe it's just because nobody saw anything in. Nobody
like
connected.
Could take it on and wanted to build that relationship together.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, that is crazy. Well, how about Bryn Weaver, who we just had on, speaking of self-publishing, The Butcher and Blackbird, and now is a New York Times bestseller.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those stories are incredible to me. Where, I mean, you know, that went viral and then she got a publisher and now it's on the paperback trade list. I mean, crazy.
It is crazy.
And it sold 100,000 copies, as she posted the other day.
Yeah.
Dude. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm wondering if there is, with Book Talk, I don't know if you remember this, early in the days of self-publishing, there was a real, I don't know, opportunity or something to be self-published and get recognition, which was seemed mutually exclusive for a while. Mm-hmm. It happened with Beautiful Disaster, Jamie McGuire. Mm-hmm. And then I just listened to a podcast interview with Colleen Hoover, who talked about her first, which was exactly the same thing. Slammed. She wrote it. She just put it up. She used the generic, I think it was Amazon KDP, just used one of their generic covers. She didn't even have a cover art or design, just put it on. And I think it was 20 days later, it had sold an insane amount and was on the New York Times after she just pressed send on self-publishing. So I don't know if there is a similar opportunity, similar thing happening right now. I don't know,
but Bryn Weaver's was right now. I guess the point is, like, you hear the Eric LaSalle story, and which is so unusual, but then the self-publishing, you hear these, but those are also super unusual. Uh-huh. That you,
yeah,
and it's just wild, basically. Yeah. I think it is like it that. Is. How a book ever ultimately makes it into the world.
Yeah. And what people will talk about and, you know,
what catches,
not shut up. Yeah, yeah. What catches fire, what word of mouth will do. It's crazy. I have to tell you, it a little bit for me, it relieves some of the pressure I feel. I don't know.
Because it's like, exactly. Like, there's no... I it would do the same thing for me.
Yeah.
And like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. It's not to say that I won't do what I can do, but I can't. I don't know. Yeah. There's no formula.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
All right. Well, do we have anything else?
Happening?
Yeah.
We haven't picked out of the tea typewriter in a while. I was kind of hoping for
today.
I'm feeling a little need for that.
Gonna
shake it up.
I was thinking that too. How is your tarot going? Are you doing it? Because
not good. I know what you mean. You mean like I was gonna do, I got this tarot book and I was gonna try.
Yes.
I've done it only a few times, the actual like book. But I did do the yearly one, as you know, the 12 month. And I check that at the beginning of every month.
Oh, right. Cause it's March.
And kind of go, And kind of go over what it is. And then I always do it on like new moons and full moons. And then just, of course, when a crisis or a question comes up. But recording it in the little book, I've only done like a few times. Cause I also have a Google Doc, which I like to write it down on. That's my only problem with these things that are hard, that are like my Google Doc. I can check it anytime or anywhere I am.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and then I'm like, do I want to write it in two places? It seems like I'm doing extra work. So, yeah.
That's really funny. That's really funny because I would definitely be the hard, the book of it, because it, to me, then it becomes a ritual, right? It's funny. You like routine and I like ritual.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah.
I like the hard, I like to write things, but it's just like, then it's sitting on my desk and I can't, I can only reference it by coming back in here.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see the tea wisdom.
Yes. Let's see what the typewriter has for us today. Oh. Ooh. Okay. Master the unknown by knowing your deep self.
Oh,
I like that. Master the unknown by knowing your deep self. I like that.
Okay. We've never gotten that one.
No, it's a new one. Not new, because I literally had the same ones in there.
But yeah. Okay. Knowing your deep self. Oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm like, oh boy.
You're like, is that really necessary?
That seems kind of hard. Yeah. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, we're going to forge into the weekend with that.
Yes. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.